The Sunday Baroque podcast is made possible by WSHU and the Friends of Sunday Baroque. You can find out more about the Friends of Sunday Baroque and find out how to become one yourself by visiting our website, sundaybaroque.org, under the Contact tab. American trumpeter Justin Bland is a virtuoso on both historical and modern trumpets, as a soloist and with ensembles, and his specialty is early music. Dr. Bland has performed with many of the top early music ensembles, including American Bach soloists, Apollo's Fire, Washington Bach Consort, Tempesta di Mare, and many others. He's also played in South America with ensemble Barroco de Bogotá. Justin Bland is speaking with me today via Zoom about his career as a musician and about the trumpet. Welcome.
Hi.
So first things first, though, how are you doing during COVID lockdown?
I've been managing. I've been finding more time to work on some projects that I otherwise wouldn't have so much time to do. So that's been one positive thing. And I've also been really working at, you know, in my practicing to like really try to improve during this time where I don't have a lot of concert music, at least immediately, that I need to focus on. So that's been one of the positive things about that.
Good, good, good. Well, can you tell me what those projects are that you wouldn't have had time to do?
So I've been working a lot on some critical editions of some pieces. And a lot of these things I had started when I graduated with my doctorate, and I didn't have so much work then. I kind of got it because part of my doctoral project was actually doing a critical edition. So I started doing more of those. Mm-hmm. Now I actually have time to kind of finish them and also start some new ones. So I've been using a lot of my time to do that because it's kind of intensive work at the computer. Mm-hmm. And so if I have a busy day, I don't have so much time to like really concentrate and like go through those manuscripts and such. Ah. So I've been using a lot of my time for that.
Interesting, interesting. So you play modern and historical trumpets, and I think it would be helpful if you would please explain the difference between, you know, the modern trumpet that probably most people are familiar with from going to an orchestra concert or maybe even playing themselves as a young person, and then also contrast that with the various incarnations of the trumpet going back in history. Can you give us like a little thumbnail sketch of that?
Yeah. So, I mean, when we start with the earliest trumpets, they're essentially, if we're talking about a regular trumpet, it's kind of going to be just a straight tube. Mm-hmm. So it's quite cumbersome to carry if you're going to have a tube of any significant length to give you a lot of pitches. Eventually, we have the technology to actually bend metal without it cringling. So then we're able to kind of wrap the trumpet into a more manageable shape to hold. It's still an instrument that doesn't have any valves or anything. And with that, we're not able to play as many notes because we're essentially only able to play notes on the harmonic series. Mm-hmm. Then various experiments came in order to increase the number of notes. So one of the notable ones is the application of keys to the trumpet. Mm-hmm. This one's particularly notable, even though we don't have so much repertoire. It didn't really catch on in most places. There are some places like Italy where you might have some bands and such. But for the most part, the instrument didn't catch on, but it's pretty popular because it was the instrument for which Haydn's famous trumpet concerto was written. And that's a very popular standard piece for us. It's used on a lot of orchestral auditions in any, you know, trumpet player is going to know that piece. And so we have that, and there are lots of different types of experiments. We have instruments that have slides and such in order to give us a few more notes. Instruments that are short enough in form where we can actually hand stop like horn players could, not as effectively as them, but gave us a possibility for more notes. And then later on, we apply the valve technology to the trumpet. So our modern trumpets actually use this valve technology where we depress a valve and we allow there to be more tubing for the air to pass through. So then we're able to actually play completely chromatically in all of our playable range. And that's the trumpet that we know today.
So you're really using your embouchure and your breath support and all for those really, really early trumpets. It's really, it's kind of, you're the instrument in a lot of ways.
Exactly. I mean, we don't have any of those aids to help us with producing the pitches.
Sounds like it would be very, very physical.
Yeah, so, well, trumpet in general is a very physical instrument. Even the modern trumpet, we, you know, our lips are responsible for producing the sound. And we use more energy when we have to play a higher note because our lips vibrate at a higher frequency. So even on a modern instrument, it's going to be a lot of physical work. But especially with the historical instruments, in order to play a scale, for example, because we're only playing notes of the harmonic series, we actually need to play in the uppermost register. Otherwise, the notes are spaced out. And that's why we can play like those fanfare kind of figures. That's why we're kind of known as brass instruments for that, because in the low register, the notes are spaced to give those intervals. But in order to play melodically, we're actually forced to play pretty high. So that's why the Baroque repertoire is written in that register, because it's the only place where we can play melodically.
And you are particularly, you are noted for your ability, your facility in that super high range. And you know, I saw you have a lot of really beautiful critical comments about your performances. One of probably the most famous and most difficult Baroque trumpet pieces that people might recognize would be Bach's Second Brandenburg Concerto. Would you talk about that challenging trumpet part and maybe kind of its history and what, if anything, you do specifically to prepare for a performance of something like that?
So what makes this particular piece so difficult is not necessarily the most difficult piece from a technical standpoint, but it's particularly difficult endurance-wise because we're, first of all, using a smaller trumpet, a trumpet in F, still bigger than a standard modern trumpet, but in terms of a Baroque trumpet, it's going to be smaller because it's the Baroque trumpet, we typically play in C and D most of the time for our repertoire. So trumpet in F is quite a special instrument. We have a few other pieces for which this clarino piccolo, as we would call it, a small clarino trumpet was written. We have a few pieces for which that are written for that. But it's the most notable one for F trumpet. So we're already dealing with an instrument that's smaller, which gives us a little bit more fatigue. And then the issue of endurance is exacerbated by the fact that there's not so much rest, particularly in the first movement. We have these snippets of places where we can rest, but we're essentially always playing. And so we're not given the opportunity to really recover. So when I'm preparing this piece, I have to really think about the endurance aspect of it. Because I think from a technical standpoint, it's actually not so difficult. But getting through it is always a challenge. And so kind of just, you know, regular endurance training and just making sure that I'm approaching the instrument with as much lightness as is practical, which is actually aided by the fact that we're playing a smaller instrument. It's a little bit, it responds better to a lighter approach, I find. So that makes it a little bit easier. And especially when we're dealing with issues of balance with an instrument like the recorder, which is much, it's much softer. So by Bach pairing, you know, the smaller, lighter trumpet with that recorder, it's actually a little bit easier to achieve balance, I think, than actually performing it on a modern piccolo trumpet. But when I'm preparing it, I really think about, you know, basics of technique, but really trying to think about trying to get a little bit more of a lighter approach when I'm playing. I think that's one of the things that I kind of think about most. And I definitely, because it's a concerto grosso, so it's not a trumpet concerto. So I also have to think about, it's not me being the star, but but I'm a part of a quartet. And so all of us are kind of interacting. And then the four of us are interacting with the other players in the piano. So I think kind of thinking about it more conversationally kind of already aids in the approach of lightness. And so those are some things I think mentally helped me with getting my head around kind of playing such a difficult part. And then of course, trying to think about it musically kind of is distracting from the inherent technical difficulties, at least I would say the endurance difficulties that come with playing the piece.
Yeah. It reminds me of pacing yourself for a marathon, if you will, rather than, sort of giving it all up like a sprint.
Exactly. I mean, because you have to make it all the way to the end of the third movement. Fortunately, we have a movement where we can rest, but it's, then we kind of start that movement, the last movement too. So it's just kind of making sure that we are mindful of the fact that we have to make it all the way through the end of the piece.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of the recorder, I understand that you play recorder as well as being a trumpeter. So no wonder you're conscious of that and trying to be sensitive to the volume of the recorder when you're playing a piece like that. I also understand that you're an accomplished singer, that you're a countertenor. So, really a professional on the level of someone who sings with Apollo's Fire and Opera Cleveland and such. So, and harpsichord tuner. So you're quite a man of many talents.
Yeah, I did some harpsichord tuning when I was a grad student. I actually got kind of thrown into it as part of my graduate assistant assignment. So I have some experience with that.
Ah, okay. Okay. So how did you first start in music? Are you from a musical family?
I'm not from a musical family, but I started for trumpet, a relatively young age. I started trumpet in fifth grade.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's kind of it's kind of a normal time, but a lot of other instruments like keyboard or a violin, you might start even earlier than that. But mm-hmm. for a trumpet, it's not so difficult to start kind of that age. So I started on trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't practice so much when I was younger, but eventually I really liked it and I started practicing more.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I was in high school, I knew I kind of wanted to major in that for my undergraduate. So that's kind of where it all started. And then I studied and eventually got my doctorate.
So how did you get over that don't like to practice thing? Because that's a pretty big deal.
I think it was, I was in the band program and mm-hmm. I actually had a lot of encouragement. And I think that my band director, band directors both in elementary school and middle school saw potential.
Mm-hmm.
So then that kind of made me want to practice and get better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how does a boy in fifth grade choose to play the trumpet instead of, actually, I don't know, drums or tuba or whatever?
It was actually my mom's choice to pick up trumpet. She thought it would be good for me. Huh. So that's...
Oh, goodness. Yeah. So in what way?
Apparently, I mean, really good choice.
Mom knows best, of course, and clearly she was right. But do you know why she picked the trumpet? Maybe we should have her on this interview.
She told me that she had talked to the band director, and the band director's claim was that if I could play trumpet, then I should be able to play other instruments. Apparently, that was also all true.
Wow.
So it was the reason that she ended up going with trumpet for me.
Interesting. So where did the countertenor part come in? Because I'm looking at this and I'm thinking all right, you specialize in trumpet, but also high trumpet's kind of your thing, and recorder and countertenor, which is of course high voice. So that's your range, I guess. But how did you get into singing too?
That was more or less by accident. Just kind of singing for fun, not really being so serious about it, but kind of like in the hallways when I was an undergraduate student, kind of just singing through some things. Cause I listen to a lot of singers because I get a lot of inspiration from their phrasing and such. And so sometimes just kind of singing something. And I was told by, some of the students that I should just go to the voice teacher and see, because they thought I had a nice voice. And so that's kind of how it happened.
Yeah. And I guess, too, you know, as a brass player, as a trumpet player, you have to have a really good sense of pitch because you're using your embouchure, because you're using your breath control and whatnot. So that kind of makes sense to be able to sing well. What first got you interested in historical trumpets, though? Because that's kind of a big leap from playing the modern trumpet to then some veering off into historical trumpets. Really different instrument.
Yeah, so it was actually an admiration and love for Baroque music that kind of got me started. Even as early as high school, I was really interested in Baroque music. I guess I hadn't really given so much thought on historical instruments. I mean, I didn't have so much exposure, but I really liked the sound of it. I was listening to a lot of modern piccolo trumpet, but you know, playing that Baroque repertoire. And when I started my undergraduate, my teacher, Chris Gecker, had a Baroque trumpet on his shelf that he had some experience with. He was never playing it a lot, but he did some recording on it. But it was just sitting there, and I, because of my interest, I said, can I just play that? And that is kind of how I started on that.
Oh, wow. Wow. So people who play Baroque violins and cellos and violas, they often use antique instruments from centuries ago. But what about brass instruments? Do people play instruments from centuries ago, or are those all modern made reproductions?
There are some surviving brass instruments, and I hear that horn players more often will play historical instruments. But for me, I have replicas of instruments that I play on. But there are some surviving ones, and some people do play them.
You'd kind of think that brass instruments would be more durable than wooden violins, cellos, and violas. Why is that? What happens, and why aren't there more brass instruments from the period?
I'm actually not sure. Obviously, the best instruments would be the ones that were used, so we don't have as many surviving of the probably the best ones. Maybe we have more show instruments. I haven't really given it much thought, but I imagine has something to do with that.
So you live in Denmark, right?
I do.
So what motivated you to move there? What's it like for your performing career, or at least what was it like before COVID? Why Denmark?
I mean, it's a really nice place. I visited a few times before. I was taking some modern auditions, and I really liked the area. I decided to move here, and it was a really good choice because I'm still, you know, relatively new. I mean, not so new, but still, I haven't studied here or anything, so I still feel a little bit new. But it's a really nice city, both generally in terms of its location with the ease to get around other parts of Europe, but also specifically in terms of the market here. There aren't so many Baroque trumpet players, so it actually ended up being quite a good choice for me.
Excellent. So what other, you know, we talked about the Bach Brandenburg too, but what are some other really spectacular pieces, or maybe your personal favorite pieces to play with the Baroque trumpet?
Well, I've always kind of had a love of playing things that are less performed. So there are a lot of pieces that have some recordings, but they don't get so much live performance. And actually during this period, I've been kind of trying to explore a little bit of that repertoire, also kind of looking at some things that are very difficult. So kind of, especially when we're talking about like extreme high register stuff, kind of looking at some of that repertoire.
Such as? Both,
just different random concertos. Looking at some potential things for a possible recording. Maybe not such extreme high register stuff for that, but some concertos that are not performed as much. So kind of just exploring a lot of different things. I've recently ordered some other, like some new music and some things that I played before, but on like when I was studying on piccolo trumpet, but I haven't performed so much. But looking at concertos like those by Mahler or just different composers, Hertel, of some things that that don't get played so much. So I find it really interesting. Also, kind of looking at, I mentioned earlier that C and D are the most popular crookings for our instruments in the Baroque period. Mm-hmm. So looking at instrumental things that are for trumpets that are in other keys is also been something that I've been doing during this time.
So I know, for example, that there is modern music, like literally contemporary composers writing music for, you know, that uses, for example, harpsichord or viola da gamba and that sort of thing. Is there music, modern music being written, or has there been modern music written for the Baroque trumpet?
It's kind of a small amount of music for us, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I think it has to do with possibly the limitations. You have like more examples, for example, for horn. Mm-hmm. And I think that comes from the fact that horn, you can hand stop. So you can play it actually largely chromatically throughout the horn's range. But for us, it comes down to the fact that we're restricted to the harmonic series, which is not something that the other early instruments are gonna have to contend with. I would like to play more music. I think it's interesting to kind of explore the contemporary repertoire for early instruments, but there unfortunately isn't so much for us.
Yeah. Well, maybe you'll have to commission some things.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So you mentioned earlier that you developed a love of Baroque music when you were still in high school. Do you have a favorite composer or composers?
I get asked this, but I don't really. I kind of go back and forth between different composers, and I always like finding new music that I don't know. And I also like to listen to a lot of non-trumpet music, so a lot of vocal music. In terms of vocal music, I really love Handel's music. But no particular composer who's my favorite. It's just I just like exploring different music and kind of finding new things, and that's something that I really enjoy.
And do you teach at all?
I do. I actually don't have any Baroque students now. I'm doing I have a lot of modern students though.
Okay.
And I have a lot of beginners that I work with actually.
Ah, and I'm assuming that those are all virtual lessons?
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, especially given what this past year has been like for musicians, what kind of advice would you have for a young person interested in pursuing a career as a professional musician?
I mean, I think that this pandemic has taught us to try to be versatile and to be able to do a number of different things. So I think that, especially if you're in education, kind of making sure that you kind of have some other aspects that you can focus on as well. Like for me, I'm doing like additions, of course, teaching. That's one that a lot of people do, but actually some people don't teach. So like kind of having those other things within music to be able to do other than performing is quite useful and important, because you never know where you're going to need that.
Yeah, boy, truer words were never spoken. Well, I have been speaking via Zoom with Dr. Justin Bland, a virtuoso performer on the modern and historical trumpets. Thank you very, very much for your time.
I appreciate being asked.